Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, I'm going to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. And while you're there on Twitter, give me a follow at GoForItGant. Big show lined up for you today. I expect to be joined by the newest member of the Philadelphia 76ers guard, Nick Young. And Nick's got to be a happy guy right now. Sixers just acquired Andrew Bynum last week in that Dwight Howard trade. So Nick Young is a happy guy, happy camper. His Sixers, Andrew Bynum in the fold, his Sixers, a lot of people to believe, can now be one of the teams you talk about in the Eastern Conference in terms of contenders. You can talk Boston. You can talk, obviously, Miami, possibly Chicago, maybe Brooklyn, possibly the Knicks. But you got to throw the Sixers in there now with the acquisition of Andrew Bynum. So we're going to talk to Nick Young about that, talk about his decision to sign with the Sixers. And Nick has some swagger, has some style, and we're going to talk to Nick about that as well. Great show lined up, and we're gonna can't wait to have Nick Young, Swaggy P, as they like to call him, but he's gonna be joining us here today. Also, again, I want to start right here now, and I want to start with Chad Johnson. We all know the story at this point. Him and his wife, Evelyn Lozada, one of the girls from Basketball Wives. Her and Chad, they got married July 4th. They got into a big argument. Apparently, the argument was over a receipt for condoms, a box of condoms, and that started a big situation, according to reports. And this is what Lozada alleges. She alleges that Chad headbutted her, and it caused a laceration on her forehead, which required stitches. So that's what we know. Chad, in Chad's opinion, Chad believes what happened was Evelyn tried to headbutt him. So, I mean, you know, it's a he said, she said situation. But ultimately, Chad Johnson paid the price because he was arrested, spent the night in jail Saturday night. Then that Sunday, he was released by the Dolphins. And we saw it all unfold on Hard Knocks on Tuesday. And they had on Monday, the show was canceled on Tuesday. The divorce, she asked for divorce. She filed for divorce. And here we go. This is where we stand. Chad Johnson right now is on the streets, does not have a job. And as far as I'm concerned, because of this incident and because of his antics and because of the diminished skills, I mean, Chad Johnson only caught 15 balls last year. So he may not be the same guy that he was when he was doing all those things, all those end zone celebrations. He may not be that guy no more. He probably isn't that guy anymore. But Miami, if you look at their roster in terms of their wide receivers, there's not much there. There is not much there. But Coach Philbin, he felt like, you know what, if they had the incident, as we saw on Hard Knocks, where Chad was cursing at the press conference and all that other stuff, and I guess a couple things he tweeted, according to Philbin, as he was talking about on Hard Knocks. But, I mean, it was an interesting Hard Knocks, one of the better Hard Knocks I've seen, actually. I mean, it was compelling, and it was gripping, and it was great. I mean, it was good television, and you felt bad for Chad Johnson, ultimately. You really did. I mean, the guy, as he came into that office, he was hurt. He was a man that was hurt. You saw hurt in his eyes. He was wounded. He was not really himself, and Chad's a lovable guy, and he was on nothing like that in that particular meeting with Joe Philbin. And you got the sense, even if Chad was, no matter what Chad said in that situation, nothing was going to change Joe Philbin's mind. He had his mind made up, and it was obvious as you watch Hard Knocks. he was on the telephone there, and he was talking about some of the incidents that Chad went through. And it just basically said, you know what, this is just not working for us, for me, I should say. It's just not working for you. It's just not going to work for the organization as a whole. And you saw Chad telling him he's never gotten in trouble before, his first off-the-field incident, so on and so forth. But it didn't change the mind of Coach Philbin. His mind was made up. There was nothing Chad could do, nothing Chad could say. And the reality is now it's over for Chad Johnson, and it conceivably could be over for his career because of this incident. And this is an interesting incident in a lot of ways because the woman, his wife, well, his former wife, because they're going to get a divorce, what, 41 days they were together. That's not long. Kim Kardashian made it 72 days. I mean, who knew that 70 Kim Kardashian's marriage with Chris Humphrey would last longer than this? I mean, 41 days. 41 days married. I mean, you spent more time preparing for the wedding than your actual marriage. The preparation was more than the actual marriage itself. It was a waste of time, pretty much. I mean, let's be real. 41 days and you're giving this thing up. It's obvious that you probably shouldn't have been married to begin with. But the funny thing about it is, and I watch Basketball Wives myself. I had some of these Basketball Wives on this show. And I'm looking back at past episodes, and one thing that struck me, one episode that struck me, a lot of episodes that struck me about this whole thing, but I was trolling around, and I jumped on TMZ.com, and don't judge me, please. But I'm on there, and I'm looking around, and I remember this episode, and there was a clip from the episode where Evelyn was talking to Chad, and she was telling Chad if he was going to cheat, pretty much, if you're going to cheat on me, make sure that you're wrapping up and make sure you're open and honest about the whole thing. And here's her exact words. Go to the pharmacy and get condoms first. And I guess Chad, in some respect, was at least listening to what she said, because he did ultimately go to the pharmacy. He went somewhere to get condoms. He got his condoms, and ultimately I guess he was going to use those condoms for another woman. And that particular situation, the box of condoms receipt caused a big argument and caused this big situation to blow up. Now, you look at this whole situation. Looking at this whole situation, you have to say, on the surface, if anybody would be prone to doing it, to headbutting anybody, it would probably be Evelyn, and we're just going off history. History tells us and has shown us, Basketball Wives, we see it every week, she has showed a violent side, including throwing a champagne bottle at another one of the girls on the show, Kenya Bell, who is the ex-wife of Charlie Bell. So, I mean, and if you could you imagine if that bottle would have hit? I mean, it was coming from a far distance. Can you imagine if that bottle would have hit her? It could have really done some serious, serious damage. But anyway, in terms of history, and Chad did have a little situation back in college, a little domestic violence thing. Back in college, ultimately, he was given probation for that. That was over a decade ago. That was a long time ago. We saw Evelyn do some of the things that she's been doing in terms of violence just a few months ago, just this past season on Basketball Wives. And she talked about violence and talking about settling situations and beefs with violence. So in a lot of ways, history tells us that the more violent person here is Evelyn Lozada. Now, I'm not saying this didn't happen. I'm not saying it didn't happen. And if it did happen, shame on Chad Johnson, because there's no excuse to hit on a woman. No excuse for any type of violence by a man towards women. But you look at Evelyn in a lot of ways, there's no excuse for violence towards people, period. Period. There's no excuse for violence towards other people, women-on-women violence, man-on-man violence, no excuse for any type of violence, period. And Evelyn has shown violence on Basketball Wives. She has shown violence, a violent side on Basketball Wives in terms of trying to attack girls, in terms of throwing bottles, so on and so forth. We have seen her violent side. We have seen her violent side. We haven't really seen a violent side of Chad Johnson. We haven't seen a violent side of Chad Johnson. We saw a playful side of Chad Johnson. We saw a funny side of Chad Johnson. We saw a goofy side of Chad Johnson. We see a fun-loving side of Chad Johnson. We have never seen a violent side to Chad Johnson. We have saw a violent side to Evelyn Lozada. We have seen it. We saw it. It's on video. You can go to YouTube. You can go to VH1.com. You can go somewhere. You can find it. We've seen it. We've seen violence from her. We have seen violence from her. Do I think Chad's a bad Chad Johnson's a bad person? I don't know. I mean, I don't know the guy. Doesn't seem to be a bad person, but you don't know the guy. And that's why I'm not putting this past him, because I really don't know Chad. And the reality is, no one knows you like your spouse, your significant other, your husband, your wife, so on and so forth. No one knows you like they do. But I will say this. They only were married 41 days. They've only been dating, what, a year or two or so? Not very long. So how well do they know each other? How well do they really truly know each other? But anyway, no one knows you like your spouse. No one. Your friends know. Your brothers and sisters know. Your mama know. No one knows you like your spouse, in my mind, in my opinion. So with that being said, maybe he did do it. I don't know. I mean, history, I think, will tell you that it's a possibility because you had the situation in college. But that was over a decade ago. It's a long time ago. So maybe it corrected that problem. History tells you also that Evelyn's a very violent person herself, judging by what we saw on Basketball Wives. Granted, it's reality TV, and how real is reality TV? But the thing about this whole thing is ultimately Chad Johnson's career is in jeopardy. I'd be shocked if he plays again this year. I really will. Because he still has to go to, she's pressing charges. She's going to press charges at this point. So it still has to go through that whole legal situation, and we don't know what's going to come of that. I mean, we don't know what could happen. But at this point, I don't think Chad gets another opportunity. I mean, there are teams who could use some wide receiver help. Cowboys, Jets, to name a couple. They could use some wide receiver help. Chad Johnson. I mean, the thing is, it comes down to this, and I've used this analogy so many times, and it's so, so apropos for this particular situation. Here's the thing. When you look at life sometimes, and you look at it in terms of females, I'm going to make this comparison. Chad Johnson, guys like T.O. who've got another opportunity, I'm glad he did, and I hope he makes the most of this opportunity. Hope he is humbled and ready to give his all, and he's going to keep himself quiet and out of trouble. Allen Iverson, same deal. These guys were the pretty girls with the bad attitudes. The girls that you love to get with, the girls that are so pretty, so cute, the girls that just do it for you physically. And the type of girls that you look past her attitude. You look past the bad attitude. Doesn't matter. Who cares? She's pretty. I can deal with the attitude. She's pretty. 5-6 years later, she's put on a few pounds. Wrinkles start to go to her face. She's not as cute as she once was. Guess what? You're not going to be willing to deal with that attitude. You're not going to be as willing to deal with that attitude because guess what? She's just not as cute as she once was. So you're not going to deal with that attitude. No, you ain't dealing with that attitude For what? For what? You go out there and get another girl, younger, with a better attitude. So, and I compare that to Chad Johnson at this point. All the antics, the touchdown celebrations, his love for Twitter, his love for reality shows, social media, so on and so forth. And now this latest incident. He's just not worth it anymore. He's just not worth it anymore. And the Dolphins need wide receiver help. But guess what? Guess what? Chad Johnson becomes a problem now. He's not worth it. His production is not equal to the headaches that he causes for coaches. And obviously he was a headache for Joe Philbin. You had the situation with the cursing at the press conferences. I'm going to get to that. We saw that on Hard Knocks. You had the situation. Apparently Philbin, like I said before, talked about something he posted on Twitter, and obviously this latest incident. So, be as it may, Chad Johnson's just not as cute as he once was. Being that he's not as cute, being that he's not as appealing as he once was, and he has the same type of attitude, he becomes not worth it for anybody. His baggage is just not worth it. It's just not. And you can compare his situation to T.O.'s in a lot of ways, but T.O. had production, close to 1,000 yards receiving. His last year in the NFL, and I was with Cincinnati 2 years ago. He produced. Chad Johnson, his last sample size, his last year was in New England with Tom Brady, and he only caught 15 balls. 15 balls. And because of that, he said he was on cobweb mode. At least that's what he said on Hard Knocks. And I'm not giving verbatim what he said, but something to the effect he was on cobweb mode because of the way he played. Well, judging by those boxes, that receipt, I should say, for those box of condoms, he probably wasn't on. He may have been on cobweb mode with her, Evelyn, but he probably was not on cobweb mode for other women, with other women. And so you knew Chad Johnson just watching the show, just watching Basketball Wives and just listening to him talk and his stuff on Twitter, and it's just his history, period. You knew he wasn't the marrying type. You knew he wasn't ready to be married. Let's just put that out there right now. Chad Johnson was not ready to be married. That was pretty obvious to anybody who watched Basketball Wives. He wasn't ready to be married. Just wasn't ready. Just was not ready to be married. But he got married anyway. And the marriage only lasted about 6 weeks. That's just a mock, making a mockery of marriage in a lot of ways. If you want me to be honest, I mean, come on, 41 days married, and you're done already. 41 days, that's it. 41 days. 41 days. Not 72 like Kim Kardashian. 41 days. 41 days. 41 days. That's it. 41 days. Wow. 41 days. Just think about it. The marriage only lasted 41 days. Only 41 days. 41 days. And apparently Evelyn believes that Chad needs to get help for his issues. And I mean, you look at it now. You look at it now. You look at this whole situation. They had the reality show coming up. Chad lost money with that. That's been canceled. Doesn't have he was released by the Dolphins. May not play again this year. Losing money on that. Lost a contract. He had a contract with some kind of water company. Lost that as well. Lost it all. Because seemingly over a box of condoms. I mean, if Chad, if the story is true and so on and so forth, Chad could not have waited at least until the whole show was done. At least get through the first year, Chad, of Evelyn and Ocho, Evan Ocho. Get through that first year, get your check and whatnot, and then you can get the divorce. But try to get through the year at least with the show. I mean, try to get through the year. That's the least you can do. And it's funny to me, the timing of her filing for divorce, and back to Evelyn now, Evelyn Lozada, the timing of her filing for divorce. She filed for divorce. The show was canceled on Monday. She filed for divorce the next day. At least that was reported that she filed for divorce. That it was reported on that day. The next day. I don't know if she tried to put the paperwork in Monday. I don't know. But it just seems a little odd to me. You wonder if VH1 didn't cancel the show. You wonder whether or not she would actually have filed for divorce and they would at least have tried to work it out on some level, or at least quote-unquote work it out, because there's a lot of big quotes around that working it out because, I mean, how real was their marriage anyway? And I think that's what a lot of people are also talking about as well. How real was this whole situation? How real was it? 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 Who knows? I don't know. I guess it's not for me to judge. But his bottom line is this. Here's the bottom line. Let's go to the Hard Knocks now, Tuesday night. And again, that was gripping television, riveting television. That was big-time television. A lot of people enjoyed listening and watching, and that was some interesting television. One of the most anticipated Hard Knocks episodes probably of all time, probably since the inception of this series. And we saw that episode, and we saw a lot of crazy things, a lot of interesting things, and we're going to get back to that in a moment. But you're listening to Go For It on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thank you, sir.
And that's what we're about to do now. We're about to get it now. We're going to be joined now any moment by Nick Young. And Nick Young signed with the Philadelphia 76ers, and he's got to be very happy about that decision right now. The Philadelphia 76ers just traded for Andrew Bynum, a legitimate low-post center. I'm a lifelong Sixers fan. I love the move. I love the move of bringing in Nick Young as well. And I'm looking for a big season for the Sixers. I really am. I really am looking for a big season out of Philadelphia 76ers. Andrew Bynum in the mix, Nick Young, Darrell Wright also brought in. I like the moves that they made all in this offseason, and I think it's going to pay dividends in 2012-2013 NBA season. Let's bring him in now, newest member of the Philadelphia 76ers, the man with so much swag, the one and only, Nick Young. Nick, how are you, sir?
What's up? I'm all right.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah, man, anytime.
And Nick, you signed with the Philadelphia 76ers this offseason, one-year deal, $6 million. Why did you choose Philadelphia?
Oh, man, I just, you know, I was kind of a psychic. I kind of seen something big happening out there. So I just hopped on a board, you know. So, yeah, it was a good move for me.
Oh, a great move. Obviously a great move. And you got to be excited. I mean, obviously I'm a Sixers fan myself, so I'm excited. Andrew Bynum is a Philadelphia 76er. First of all, how excited are you to play with Andrew Bynum?
Oh, man, that's big. I'm very excited. When I didn't really believe until now, really. Now I'm really soaking it all in. I'm like, okay, it's really official. I've seen Dwight Howard press conference. Oh, yeah, we about to do big things, you know. So, I'm happy. I know the city happy. They ain't had nothing like this in a while.
It's been a while. It's definitely been a while, Nick. And like I said, I've been following the Sixers my whole life, and it's been a minute. It's definitely been a minute since the Sixers have had this type of excitement. And, you know, you got a lethal jump shot. Your jump shot is definitely a big part of your game. You're going to be getting a lot of open looks now with Andrew Bynum. Definitely a lot of open looks with Andrew Bynum. How much easier does he make your game?
A lot easier because, you know, you got to double team the big fella. You know, who else would you want to shoot on the kick out? I would love to knock some shots down. So, that's what I'm here for, right?
you getting that stroke ready?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'm in the gym right now.
Okay, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. We're talking to the newest member of the Philadelphia 76ers, Nick Young. And, Nick, you were a starter in Washington. You came off the bench with the Clippers. At this point, do you know what you're going to be with the Sixers? Are you coming off the bench? Are you going to be a starter? And do you have a preference?
Nah, I don't have a preference, but I'm just going to go there, do my thing, and let the coach decide. You know, I'm going to bring my A game, and, you know, get me out there in that starting lineup. I'm going to just take my role and play it.
Definitely, and Nick, no one has questioned your talent, your ability, but some have questioned your attitude. How do you respond to those type of things when you hear that?
Oh, that's you know, I get tired of hearing that. You know, that's something I've been dealing with for a while now. You know, they'll get a chance to see it this year, you know, when they got a chance to see it a little bit in the playoffs. You know, I feel if you make the playoffs, you know, you get to see, you know, the type of person you is and you get more spotlight on you. So the better attitude we had this year and what we're going to do this year, it's a change of roles in a lot of players and a lot of people's eyes.
Do you feel like you have something to prove?
Most definitely do, man. Most definitely do. So I'm letting them know now. I'm coming back with a vengeance this year.
You're coming with a vengeance because you're going to be big time this year.
Yeah. I got to. And, you know, and plus, you know, we got some L.A. swag on this team this year. So I feel comfortable. I got, you know, Darrell White.
Right.
I got Drew Holiday, you know.
Definitely. I mean, it definitely.
Yeah, we're going to bring that to Philly, you know.
Well, the Philly is going to get some West Coast flavor, and also Andrew Bynum. He's not from L.A., but he played for the Lakers for a few years there. So a lot of West Coast swag, if you will, in Philly. And you look at it, Nick, and you talked about the playoffs, and you were in the playoffs last year. You were a part of one of the signature moments of the playoffs. Your Clippers erased a 27-point second-half lead. You hit three big three-pointers in that particular game in that run. How special was that game for you?
Oh, man, that was, you know, one of the highlights of, you know, my career. First time being in the playoffs, first game in the playoffs, you know, it was crazy. It was nothing like that, neither. You know, back against the wall, we down 27. That was crazy. I'm just happy to be a part of that. I don't have to experience that. Just to get that experience, too.
And how much fun was it for you to play in L.A. and be back home, basically?
Oh, yeah. It was different. You know, I got a chance to, you know, get home, cook meals on the daily. You know, I got a lot of friends. Yeah, a lot of friends, family out here, so it was pretty cool. But, you know, I'm in Philly now, so I'm ready to make Philly one of the best experiences of my career so far coming up.
We're talking to a newest member of the Philadelphia 76ers, Nick Young. And, Nick, You got swagger, man, and your dress game is something serious. Describe your fashion. Describe your fashion sense.
Oh, man, that's tough. You know, they just call me Swaggy P, and, you know, they don't call me Swaggy P for no reason. So that, my name describes my swag right there.
Okay. We talked about the swagger. We talked about you being nicknamed Swaggy P. How does one get swagger? Is that something you're born with? Is that something you acquire? How do you do it?
Oh, man. It's something you can acquire if you, you know, study it right. You know, you got to really study it. But it's something you got to be born with. A lot
okay.
of people do it, and they just look crazy when they outfit. You know, they don't look like the outfit got to fit you, you know? So I could get real deep in this fashion thing, you know, but I'm going to chill. I see a lot of people copying my swag out there, too.
You see a lot of people copying your swag. And I mean, what does it take? I mean, how does one, like myself, if I wanted to go out one day and get a linen outfit with multiple colors with the shoe to match, where do I go? I mean, what do I do? How do I make that happen?
Man, be cool now, you know. So, you know, I'm going to have to take you. I'll take you. You know, I'll give you, you know, the kit you need to start off, the start-off kit, you know.
Okay. And maybe they'll, I mean, my name is Paul. Maybe they'll start calling me Swaggy P.
There you go.
I got to steal your nickname. And Nick, I mean, obviously, with this move, Andrew Bynum bringing in yourself, Darrell Wright, we talked about some of the moves that the Sixers made this offseason. You have the Knicks out there, a lot of people talking Knicks. Obviously, you're talking to Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference, Boston Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets. Can we put the Sixers in that conversation as one of the big contenders in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, most definitely. But look, we like to be the sleepers. You know, don't let people keep worrying about, you know, Miami and why we come right up and steal that spot, you know, and people wondering how that happened. You know, you're going to be the sleepers this year. But we definitely something to look at, something to be reckoned with, and not to be taken as a joke, you know.
Definitely.
So,
and you, I expect big things as well, Nick. I mean,
right.
You know, again,
exactly.
It's been a long time as a Sixers fan. It's been a long time since we had this type of excitement. It's been since Allen Iverson left.
Really? Yeah.
It's been that long.
No, I remember watching them games. So I remember when Philly played the Lakers in the championship.
Right.
And AI walked over or loose. He walked over loose.
Who could ever forget that? Who could ever forget that? And,
I know, right?
And Nick, just so I got this down right, you're expecting a big-time year for the Philadelphia 76ers. Out of you.
Oh, yeah. Out of me, most definitely. I won't let you down this year. Plus, you know, we're going to be in between. I'm going to predict the future. You know, I'm going to say we're going to be in between that 2 and 4 spot in the East.
Okay.
Two or four.
You know what? And since you have the history, because you said it earlier, you thought the Sixers were going to bring in Andrew Bynum. You predicted the future. You predicted that would happen. That's why you signed with the Sixers. So I got to ride with you. I got to ride with you on this one.
You know, I'm not saying I'm Cleo, but I'm something like it. I see the future.
I see it with you. I believe.
All right.
And Nick, you're big time on Twitter. Where can fans connect with you on Twitter?
Okay, how you say how can fans connect with me?
Yes, on Twitter.
Oh, you know, just hit me up at Nick Swaggy P Young, you know, 1G. just hit me up, you know, and I'll reply. I try to reply to mostly everybody, but it's kind of tough.
Right. I mean, you know, you're a guy with a lot of swag. You can't connect with everybody. I mean, you know, swag is important. Nick, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. And I was happy to get some swag from you. I feel the swag. I feel like I got some swag after talking to you, man. I appreciate
man.
Thanks for the confidence, man. I really appreciate
it. Hey, as you should, man. You're one of the best talk shows right now, man, radio shows right now. I'm going to be on here all the time.
Appreciate it, Nick, man. Nothing but the best of luck. Let's do it again.
Thanks.
Nick Young, Nick Swaggy P, he has swag, and he's going to bring that swag to Philadelphia. He's definitely going to bring that swag to Philadelphia. I'm expecting big things out of Nick Young this year. I really am, and I really love the move of bringing in Nick Young. I mean, I love the Bynum move, obviously. Darrell Wright, I like that move as well, but I really love the Nick Young move, a guy with a lot of size, a guy who has proven that he can score the basketball in this league. A lot of ability out of Nick Young. He has a one-year deal, $6 million. And so this is going to be big for him. He wants to make that next – he wants to get that big contract. In order for Nick Young to get that big contract, Nick Young is going to have to ball this year. And he's going to have every opportunity to ball this year. And people are really going to see the type of game that Nick Young has. He can get it done. And I expect Nick Young to get it done this year for the Philadelphia 76ers. And Andrew Bynum was introduced to the Sixers yesterday, the Philadelphia 76er faithful. I mean, it was a beautiful press conference, and a lot of credit to the new ownership of Philadelphia. A lot of credit to the new ownership in Philadelphia. They're doing a great job of connecting with the fans. That press conference was beautiful. And I'm talking as a Philadelphia 76ers fan right now. I'm taking off all – I'm putting on my 76ers underwear, my 76ers T-shirt, wife beater, 76ers hat. I got it all on right now. I'm talking as a Philadelphia 76ers fan. This Sixer ball club, we have not had that type of buzz around the Sixers since AI left. And near the end of the AI era, it was getting old at that point. I mean – it was time to move Allen Iverson on. And before I say that, I love Allen Iverson as a Philadelphia 76ers. I love what he did for the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm a fan. I am a fan of Allen Iverson. There's no getting around that one. Let me put that out there right now. But I will say this. I will definitely say this. And there has not been a buzz around this team since AI left. And this team right now with Andrew Bynum, the dominant, the second-best center in the game, some would argue the best center in the game, you have him now. He's close to us where he grew up at in Jersey. He's close. He grew up about 30 miles left, or 30 miles outside of Philly in Jersey. I think it was 30 minutes, something, one or two. But anyway, he's back. He's back in the area, in the Philadelphia area. And now he has an opportunity to be the guy. This is his team. And a lot of people believe that Kobe should have turned things over more to Bynum while he was in L.A. But this is Andrew Bynum's team. This is his team. And the Sixers, a lot of young talent, Drew Holiday, Evan Turner, bringing in a Nick Young, a Darrell Wright. I mean, I love all the moves the Sixers have made this offseason. They get an A++++++ for what they did this offseason. I was the one that didn't want to part with Andre Iguodala. But if you can tell, I never thought that Andrew Bynum would be possible. I didn't think Andrew Bynum would ever be possible. I didn't think it could be possible that Andrew Bynum would be there. I thought it was impossible to get Andrew Bynum. But you get Andrew Bynum, you get a guy, and Andrew Bynum, who is an absolute stud. He's a stud. You already have Evan Turner, Thaddeus Young, Drew Holiday, LaVoy Allen, who gave the team some great minutes last year. I mean, I really love what the Sixers did. And you also bring in a Jason Richardson, a guy who can fill it up and a guy who's going to get some big-time looks just like Nick Young. He's going to get some looks just like Nick Young, some great looks. And I know, you know, one of the downsides of this whole thing is whether or not, in terms of being able to re-sign Andrew Bynum. Guess what? It's worth the risk. The Philadelphia 76ers had no shot of getting out of the seventh. I mean, they were a seventh-seeded team, eighth-seeded team. They were around that area, sixth, seventh, and eighth. They were no better than that. They were treading water with Andre Iguodala on the roster. It is what it is. It is what it is. He was an all-star this year, but this wasn't his best year. He had better years than this, Andre Iguodala. It's just the team was better this year, and he got some recognition for that. But Andre Iguodala is who he is. He is who he is, a solid defender, do it all, rebounds, assists, can score a little bit. Not a lot, a little bit. And this was a move the Sixers had to make. It's well worth the risk. Whatever happens, happens. If Andrew Bynum doesn't re-sign with the 76ers, you have the cap space, you have an asset in terms of a sign and trade. So, and I hope, I mean, if and the fan base in Philadelphia is excited, you can just watch the press conference and know that. They're excited. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since the Philadelphia 76ers have been good. It's been a long time. They're good now. They're good now. Nice run to the playoffs last year. Was fortunate that Derrick Rose got hurt, but it is what it is. Took advantage of it and got to the second round. Took Boston to the seventh game. You imagine if they had Andrew Bynum in that game? How much different that series could have been? You imagine if they had Bynum and how different it would have been if they did? I mean, the Sixers are going to definitely be a team to watch in the Eastern Conference. Andrew Bynum makes them a formidable team. He really does. Hopefully his head is right. And if his head's right, look out. Look out. 18-11 last year. He averaged. He's going to get more shots. He's going to get more opportunities. Granted, he's going to get some more attention. Definitely going to get more double teams. So he's going to definitely have to work on the passing part of his game. But this is his team now. This is his team. He's won the rings in L.A., has two of them. So he's gotten that out of the way. At this point for Andrew Bynum, and I think this benefits the Sixers, I think he's at the stage now where it's about the money. It's about the money for this guy now. In terms of he's got the championships. Now you get the championships. You just got to think about the money on some level. And I'm not saying that's where his head is at, exclusively with the money. But what I am saying is that Andrew Bynum now, now that he is in Philly, he has an opportunity now to establish himself first as a go-to guy. Secondly, he has an opportunity to go from a star to a superstar. And I think because he's won championships already, I think that helps the Sixers. Because the Sixers can give him the most money. About $20 million more than anybody else. That's big. It's going to be hard, very hard for somebody to walk away from that kind of money. Very hard. Very hard to walk away from that type of money. So I think that benefits the Sixers. You're talking about a 24-year-old, 7-foot stud. And you've gotten that. I know they gave up Iguodala. I know they gave up Harkless, a guy they drafted this year, or in the first rounders. Vujicic, another guy that they drafted a year before, first rounder. And they're giving up a protected first rounder as well. So they gave up a lot, but not really. And, of course, they're giving up Andre Iguodala. But at the end of the day, were the Sixers going to be any better than a sixth seed with Andre Iguodala on the roster? Were they going to be any better than what they are? Kudos to Doug Collins. I said it before. Rod Thorne, the whole Sixer organization. They didn't just, oh, yeah, we got to the second round. We took Boston to seven games. They knew that this team were basically were recipients of a good situation. They were they got the benefit of Derrick Rose getting injured. They got the benefit of Derrick Rose tearing his ACL. That helped them get out of the first round. They don't get out of the first round. They don't get out of the first round if Derrick Rose is there. They don't even get out of the first round, in my opinion, if Joakim Noah was there. But they got out of the first round. They got out. They got out. And the reason they got out was because Derrick Rose was injured. Give them credit, though, because they balled and they battled in that particular series. They battled. Give them a lot of credit for that. Andre Iguodala hit some big shots, including two big free throws in that particular series. He really played well. So give him credit. But it was time for the Sixers to be bold. It was time for the Sixers to be bold. And they were bold. They were bold. They were bold. And they were bold enough to go out and make a big-time deal to get Andrew Bynum. And that was big. That was big. Big time move for the Philadelphia 76ers. Give them the credit. And I want to go back to Chad Johnson for a moment now. Before we brought Nick Young in, I was talking about that. And I was talking about the situation on Hard Knocks Tuesday night. You saw it. Everybody saw it. It was an interesting episode. It was gripping. It was great television. And they're in the meeting now. And Chad Johnson and I mean, it's got to be tough to get cut on national TV. I mean, the world is watching you get cut. The world is watching. Everybody sees you getting cut. Everybody. Everybody sees you getting cut. That's got to be tough. That's got to be tough. But anyway, Chad Johnson, he was there in that particular meeting with Joe Philbin. He was contrite. You saw, like I said, he was wounded. He was hurt. And I just look at it and I say, you know what? The whole situation with Chad, I mean, he felt like it was, you know, the whole situation with Chad and everything, it was just a tough situation. And Joe Philbin, he looked very uncomfortable there. He was tapping. He was just fidgeting a little bit, not looking very comfortable in that whole during that meeting with Chad. He had to make a tough decision, and I think, Philbin said that he wasn't looking to make an example out of Chad or anything, but I'm inclined to think a little differently, because I felt like, you know what, if he warned Chad about, you know, first of all, cursing at the press conference and everything, and Chad does this again, he has to go through with something. He had to make an. He's a young coach. He's new. This is his program. And he's got to make a mark here. And he made a mark, I believe, in terms of, well, he felt like he had to make a mark. And he did that when he released Chad Johnson. Now, one of his teammates, Carlos Dansby, came out the next day and was, and he didn't believe it was the right move. He felt like Chad should have got another opportunity. And you wonder if other people in this locker room feel that way. I mean, I felt like Chad should have got another opportunity because of his record in terms of off-the-field incidents. I thought he should have got another opportunity. I thought that, I really did, I thought that Philbin should have gave him another chance. I thought he deserved it. But in terms of the cursing and that press conference and everything, Granted, you don't want to be cursing at press conferences, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But it became a strike against Chad Johnson. And I say to myself, and yeah, Hard Knocks is reality TV, and Hard Knocks, you know, they show practice footage and so on and so forth. And, you know, a lot of cursing goes on a football field. But is it hypocritical for Joe Philbin to chastise Chad for him cursing at a press conference? And granted, a press conference is a public forum, and obviously you have no business cursing at a press conference. You don't have any business doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't represent the organization well. But does cursing on Hard Knocks, does that represent the organization well? Not by him, but any other teammate, even the coaching staff, cursing on Hard Knocks. Does that represent the organization well? Does that represent the organization well? I mean, I think it becomes hypocritical in a lot of ways. I really do. I think it's hypocritical to chastise him for cursing. And on Hard Knocks, you got people cursing all the time. And granted, it's practice, and you're going to curse in practice. Coaches are going to curse at the players. It's just the nature of the game. But for Chad to get a strike for that, to me, it's hypocritical. So in looking at that and saying that, it's almost like Philbin really wasn't truly on board with Chad. And I thought the cursing was a minor incident. It really was. I thought it was a minor incident. I didn't think it was that big of an incident. I really didn't. Should he not curse at press conferences? Obviously not. But to make that as a strike for Chad, I don't think it should have been. I really don't. I don't know. I just find it a little hypocritical that, you know, people can curse on Hard Knocks, but Chad's cursing at a press conference, and, you know, it's almost like a double standard in my mind. And granted, I know press conference and also in terms of press conferences and in terms of Hard Knocks and practices and everything, I know they're two different animals, but at the same time, if you had a problem, such a big problem with Chad doing that, then I would think, you know, you would have a problem in general in terms of yourself cursing and other coaches cursing or your coaching staff. I don't know. I mean, I just find it a little hypocritical. I definitely find it a little hypocritical. But, you know, what do I know? Who am I? Obviously, it is what it is. Chad Johnson's on the streets right now. And at the end of the day, there's no really, really no one to blame but Chad himself. Great opportunity. A Miami guy, a Florida boy, he had an opportunity now to really make a mark here, to really prove a lot of people wrong. And he had an opportunity in New England with the Patriots. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, I mean, you had an opportunity to play with Tom Brady. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that. You had an opportunity to play with Tom Brady. It don't get any better than that. It really doesn't. Does it get any better than that, anybody? Everybody? It really doesn't. You're talking about the best quarterback in this game, one of the best quarterbacks in this game. I can argue he's the best. And I'm sure a lot of other people can do the same. The best, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. A great opportunity, a winning organization. A team that got to the Super Bowl last year. A team that was this close to winning a Super Bowl title. They were this close to being world champions. And you couldn't really make that situation work. The blame is on you, Chad Johnson. I mean, at the end of the day, the blame is on you. You're going to have to deal with what happened. Probably wasn't a good idea to get with the woman that you got with. That probably was mistake number one. That probably, in hindsight, Chad, I guess if you had to do it over, you would have done it a little differently. And I saw Chad's statement, and because of that statement, I have my doubts of his innocence. Because not once in that statement did he deny anything. He really, there was no denying of anything in that statement. He really didn't deny anything in that particular his statement. He did not deny anything. And you would think he would go out of his way to at least deny something. He didn't in that statement. There was no denial in that statement. And let me read his statement. I would like to apologize to everyone for the recent events that have occurred. I would like to wish Evelyn well and will never say anything bad about her because I truly love her to death. I will continue to be positive and train hard for another opportunity in the NFL. So all the fans and supporters I have disappointed, you have my sincerest apologies. I will stay positive and get through this tough period in my life. And those were the comments, and that was the statement of Chad Johnson. And at no point in that statement did Chad Johnson say that the allegations levied against me were wrong. Well, not wrong, were just didn't happen. The way Evelyn is telling the story is not true. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. And I don't know if I'm reading too much into the statement, but the statement does not say at any point or anywhere that I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It didn't say it. It didn't say it. Evelyn, and you look at Evelyn's statement, it's a little different. And let me read her statement. This was through her publicist. I am deeply disappointed that Chad has failed to take responsibility for his actions and made false accusations against me. It is my sincere hope that he seeks the help he needs to overcome his troubles. Domestic violence is not okay, and hopefully my taking a stand will help encourage other women to break their silence as well. I'm grateful to my family, friends, and fans for the outpouring of support during this difficult time. Those were the words of the ex-wife of Chad Johnson, or soon-to-be ex-wife of Chad Johnson, Evelyn Rosada. And there you have it. She comes out and says, you know what, Chad needs to take responsibility for what he did. And Chad's statement, Chad did not say that he didn't do it. He didn't say he didn't do it. And that raises questions for me. It really does. It really does. It raises questions. And I know others have come out and said there, you know, there may have been some, I don't know, I mean, there's a lot of stories coming out about this whole situation. There's going to be plenty more stories to come out of this whole situation. And I wonder at this point, will Evelyn really go through? I know at this point she has said she will press charges. I wonder if she really will go through it at the end of the day. You really do. And you wonder if they'll reconcile, and at least reconcile for a period of time to at least get some of these, footage that VH1 has on the air. And some of the footage is, I know their wedding and everything, which was on July 4th. It was on July 4th, and hey, that was only 6 weeks ago. And just like that, snap of the finger, it is over. It is over. It's amazing. Amazing. Definitely, truly an amazing thing that has transpired this past week with Chad Johnson. And then when I heard the news, I was driving home from a friend's house on Saturday night, and I heard the news. I was listening to the radio, and I heard the news, and I heard the whole situation. I was stunned. I was stunned. But I guess I shouldn't be. But I was stunned to think that, you know, Chad would risk his NFL career, his NFL future, by doing this. It just didn't sound like Chad Johnson. It just didn't sound like Chad Johnson. And I know there are reports that, according to Evelyn, she was saying that Chad Johnson was yelling F his career. So you don't know how angry he was, but you would think she would be the one that would be angry more so than him, because she was the one that called him with the condoms. You would think on some level he would be the one that would be a little more apologetic, and she would be the one that would be on 10 in terms of her anger. That's what you would think. So that's why there's some questions possibly that you may have. And obviously basketball wives watching that, obviously you're going to have some questions. But it is what it is. Chad Johnson released by the Dolphins. Chad Johnson charge, misdemeanor domestic violence charge that he has. And we'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll find out one day what the real story is with this whole situation. Right now, as he said, she said, you're listening to Go For It in the final hour, final half hour, I should say, of Go For It starts right now. Final half hour of Go For It. If you listened in that first half hour, we were joined by Philadelphia 76ers guard Nick Young. And it was great talking to Nick Young. Nick Swaggy P, as he would like to call you. Like that, that's what they call him. That's his nickname. He's a man with a lot of swag. And a lot of his outfits are just off the charts. Off the charts. Very colorful guy. And it was a lot of fun talking to him in that first hour. In the second hour, we're going to talk some baseball, and we're going to start with Melky Cabrera. 50-game suspension for old Melky. 50-game suspension for Melky Cabrera, and it just came down yesterday, actually. Melky Cabrera, a guy that was the MVP of the All-Star game, a guy that was having a big-time year for the San Francisco Giants, a guy that was getting it done this year. He was getting it done. Getting it done. He was getting it done. Getting it done this year, making a lot of plays for the Giants, is one and one of the biggest reasons the Giants were successful. Well, yesterday, Major League Baseball suspended Melky Cabrera for 50 games as he tested positive for testosterone, which is a banned substance. And guess what? He didn't deny it. He didn't deny it. He didn't challenge it. He took his medicine like a man, and he said, you know what? I did it, and now I have to pay. Now I have to pay. He apologized, but it is what it is. And funny thing, interesting thing about Melky Cabrera, he said it at the All-Star game. Something that caught my eyes. I was reading the New York Times today, and something that caught my eye is a comment that he made. A comment that he made at the All-Star game, after the All-Star game, and such an interesting comment. You hear it, and Melky Cabrera talking about what happened this year and everything. And he said, I think the one person that has had the most influence on me is the Lord. He is the one that embraced me in terms of playing better. Was it the Lord or was it steroids? I mean, was it the Lord or was it a performance-enhancing drug that made you better, Melky Cabrera? And yes, God can definitely make you better in all aspects and all different parts of your life. But Melky Cabrera, he took a banned substance. He took a banned substance, and guess what? He's going to be suspended 50 games, including 5 games in the playoffs, if the Giants were to get that far. And a lot of people, I guess you can definitely say kudos to Major League Baseball, because they're finally they're definitely doing something about this whole situation. They're definitely doing something about performance-enhancing drugs. Give them a lot of credit for it. They're doing a lot of work in this area. They're really doing a lot of great work in this area, in my mind. You had Ryan Braun last year, who they suspended, who got off basically of a technicality, as the way I look at it. I mean, he really should have been suspended. But he got off. But you also now have Melky Cabrera Yeah, Manny Ramirez, who was suspended a few times as well. They're doing something about it. They're doing something about it. You could argue maybe the penalty should be stiffer, but this is basically akin to a four. If this was the NFL, this is basically akin to a five-game suspension. I mean, that's 50 games is enough, in my mind. 50 games is enough. Could it be the whole, if you really wanted to crack down, could it be a year suspension? I wouldn't really have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. But Melky Cabrera, talking about what got into him this year, why he's been so successful this year, he said the one thing, the one person that had the most influence on him is the Lord. Well, Melky, yes, God does great things. Yes, he does. He's a great, great, great thing. But Melky, the one thing that might have helped you this year was a performance-enhancing drug. Was testosterone. Was a banned substance. And, I mean, you're surprised, but I guess you're really never surprised when it comes to this type of thing. You're never surprised. And the thing about Marky Cabrera, he worked out with A-Rod in 2010, and A-Rod's the guy who tested positive at one point in his career. And not saying that A-Rod had an effect on him here in terms of what happened with Melky Cabrera. But you look at him, Melky Cabrera, now he's going to be a free agent next year. You know this definitely affects it. He's probably going to get his money, but he's probably not going to get as much money as he could have gotten if he was clean. He's not clean. Melky Cabrera tested positive. He's dirty. And that might explain what we have seen out of Melky Cabrera this year. That may explain his production. That may explain a lot of things about Melky Cabrera. You feel bad for the guy? You really do? But he was really balling this year for the San Francisco Giants. Really balling. 345 average, 11 home runs, I should say. Not 100. I mean, it would take a lot of testosterone to get 100 home runs in a year. But 11 home runs, 60 RBIs, doing big-time work for the San Francisco Giants. Big-time work. Putting in work for the Giants. And, again, he was one of the reasons the Giants were in the pennant race this year. He's done great work for the Giants this year. Second in batting average, too, behind in the National League behind McCutcheon. So he was getting it done. He was getting it done. And he might have been getting it done. Might have needed a little help. And that little help came in a form of testosterone. That little help that he needed came in that form. But he's been balling this year. He's been balling this year. You wonder when this all started. You wonder when this all started. Played 147 games with the Atlanta Braves in 2010. Wasn't great. 255 average. 7 stolen bases. Only 4 home runs. 42 RBI. He goes to the Kansas City Royals in 2011. Got it done in 2011. Really did for the Royals. 305 batting average. 339 on base percentage. 18 home runs, 87 RBI. Big-time numbers for Melky Cabrera. And then this year, 2012, San Francisco Giants, second in batting average, 346 batting average, 11 home run, 60 RBI. Got it done. Was getting it done for the San Francisco Giants. Now we know why. We know why he's been so successful these past 2 years. Well, at least we know why this year. probably was doing it last year as well. And after the 2010 season, that bad year he had with the Atlanta Braves, he worked with A-Rod. And it worked with A-Rod. And working with A-Rod, he became a successful player. He got better. He became a better player. Was it because of working with A-Rod? Or was it because of working or doing something else? We don't know. But what we do know is that Melky Cabrera has tested positive for a banned substance. And what we do know is Melky Cabrera will be suspended for 50 games. And what we do know, the San Francisco Giants are going to be hurt by not having Melky Cabrera. That's going to hurt them. That's definitely going to hurt the San Francisco Giants. You're listening to Go For It on BlogTalkRadio.com. And we're back on Go For It. And the funny thing with this whole Melky Cabrera situation is Victor Kani came out. We know who Victor Kani is. Guy involved in the Valco scandal many years ago. Had some interesting comments about this whole thing. According to Victor Kani, Melky Cabrera is one of many. One of many players who are out here taking illegal substances. He's one of many players. Who's out there taking illegal substances. He's one of many. So, we'll see. I mean, and Victor Kani said in an interview with USA Today, I'm not going to name names, but I talk to a lot of top players in Major League Baseball, and they tell me this is what they're doing. There's rampant use of synthetic testosterone in Major League Baseball. Rampant use, according to Victor Kani. He's saying it's maybe as much as half of baseball. As much as half of baseball, according to Victor Kani, are out here taking performance-enhancing drugs. Half. Half of baseball is on performance-enhancing drugs. And he went on to say, to circumvent the test is like taking candy from a baby, and we all know how easy it is to take candy from a baby. It's so easy to circumvent, Conti went on to say. I call it the duck and dodge system. The only people that get caught are the dumb and the dumber. Melky Cabrera must be one of the dumb and dumber. Pretty obvious that Melky Cabrera must be one of the dumb and dumber. Must be one of the dumb and dumber because he got caught. He got caught. Half of the players, I don't know if it's that many. You figure, what, 2003, they tested over 1,000 players. 104 were tested positive So you're talking roughly about 10% of 1,000. So 1,000 or so some odd players. I think 50% is probably a stretch, but it wouldn't surprise me because, I mean, these players make a lot of money, and I'm sure with the money that they make, they can find a way to find somebody to give them some kind of drug that will help them dodge the test, will help them beat the test. I'm sure these players can do that. With the money that they make, I'm sure they can do that. I'm sure they can do that. And so, would it shock me if 50% of Major League Baseball was dirty? Nah, I wouldn't be shocked. But do I think that's the case? No, I don't think so. I don't think it's 50%. I think that number's a little high. I think Victor Conti is exaggerating a little bit. But if anybody would know, it's Victor Conti. If anybody would know, if anybody's in the know, it's Victor Conti. So as far as I'm concerned, maybe that number he's throwing out there, maybe there's some legitimacy to it. Maybe there is some legitimacy to it. I don't know. But I know this. I know this. Ryan Braun, he was very fortunate. And he, like I said, he got off because of a technicality. He was the National League MVP, and he got off. And like I said, he got off because of a technicality. Let's be real. And now you have Melky Cabrera, the All-Star MVP for the National League, second in batting average in the National League, a guy who's having a big-time season for the Giants. I know he tested positive as well, 50 games for him. So, I think Major League Baseball has done a lot. Judging by what Victor Conti is saying, maybe they need to do more. But I think they did a lot. I definitely think they've done a lot. But I think, obviously, if what Victor Conti is saying is true, they need to do a little more. If what he's saying is true. I don't know how true it is, but again, if anybody would know, it would be Victor Conti. It would be Victor Conti. He would know. If anybody would know, it would be Victor Conti. It definitely would be Victor Conti. If anybody would know. We'll see what happens moving forward. We shall see what happens moving forward. And looking around the league, Terrell Owens, he is in Seattle, and he's going to be making his debut with the Seattle Seahawks. He's going to be making that debut this weekend with the Seahawks. Saturday, T.O. is set to get back onto the field. I'm happy for T.O. I really am. I'm happy for a guy that's going to get another opportunity. I think it's a good move for Seattle. I think it's a guy, T.O., who's humbled, a guy that has to be humble if he wants. This is his last chance. This is his last chance. This is definitely his last chance. This will be his last chance. And being that it is his last chance, he's got to make good on it. He definitely has to make good on it. And I hope he does. I really do. I really do. And I think he will. He has to. If he wants. And he has some money issues himself. If he wants to be in the National Football League, if that's what he wants to do, if he wants to be an NFL football player, and he's getting older now, But if he wants to stay in the National Football League, T.O. is going to have to get right and get straight and do the right things. And I think he can. And I think he will. He has to. He has to. He has to. He has to. He definitely has to. He has to. But again, we thought Chad Johnson would get it right too, or at least try to. And we know what happened with that. And looking around the National Football League, Jason Witten, big-time tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, has an issue with his spleen. He hopes to avoid surgery, but he will be sidelined indefinitely. But if he does get that surgery, he could be out for an extended period of time. Definitely could be out for an extended period of time. Really could. But if he can avoid surgery, he can come back sooner. But he has a lacerated spleen at this point. And he has to wait to see how he feels to determine what could happen next. Definitely has to wait. But at this point, he does not need surgery. Does not need surgery. His status at this point is also uncertain for week one. But we'll see what happens with Jason Witten. But if the Cowboys miss out on him or lose him for an extended period of time, that's going to hurt. That's definitely going to hurt this team. They've been having guys with injuries throughout the course of this training camp. Miles Austin, Dez Bryant as well. So if you don't have a healthy Jason Witten, that's not going to be good. That's truly not going to be a good situation. That's not going to be a good situation. Not going to be. Not going to be a good situation. But I'm excited T.O. is going to make his debut on Saturday. I'm excited about that. Definitely excited about that. Can't wait to see T.O. back on the field again. I can't wait. And I'm also looking forward to Andre Iguodala making his debut with the Denver Nuggets. Andre Iguodala was introduced by the Denver Nuggets today at a press conference. Iguodala, all-star for the Philadelphia 76ers last season. This is a great move, I think, and a great situation for him, a guy who's going to be in George Karl's offense, an offense that is up-tempo, a lot of transition. Iguodala flourishes in the transition game. He defends. That's something the Nuggets had some issues with last year. So he can do that. He can definitely do that. And Andre Iguodala, this is a great spot for him. And if he can keep going, he had an all-star year. If he can get better from that particular season and get better and continue to get better, work on that jump shot a little more. Andre Iguodala is a great. This is a great move. I mean, this guy is an underrated defender. He's one of the better wing defenders in this game. To get Andre Iguodala is big for the Denver Nuggets. They also re-signed JaVale McGee as well. So Iguodala, JaVale McGee, bringing him in there. They got McGee last year, actually, in the Nick Young trade, that three-way trade. But he's there in Denver with JaVale McGee, with the Denver Nuggets, a talented team. A team that gave the Lakers fits, took the Lakers to seven games. Very talented team. Very talented team. Those Denver Nuggets. And with Andre Iguodala, it makes them better. Makes them more dangerous. Makes them a better and more dangerous ball club. Makes them a better and a more dangerous ball club. So if I'm Denver, if I'm Denver, I got to be excited about this acquisition. I definitely have to be excited about this acquisition. And he's going to flourish. I really do think he's going to flourish in Denver. That up-tempo style basketball, that fast-paced basketball, that transition basketball, Andre Iguodala, he's dominant in that transition game. He can finish like no other. One of the better finishers in this game. And he can do it all. Rebounds, assists. He can do it all. Defend. And the problem with him and the Sixers is he was the number one guy. That he's not. He's not that guy. He's not a number one guy. He's just not that guy. He will never will be that guy. He never will be that guy. There's no way you can make him that guy. It's just not who he is. But what he is a lockdown defender. What he is a guy who can give you assists, a decent passer. What he is, a guy that can rebound the basketball pretty well for his position. That's what he is. That's what he is. We can talk about all the things that he's not, but let's talk about some of the things that he is. And what he is, yeah, I think, is good for what the Denver Nuggets need. He's a guy that they need. He's definitely a guy they can use. You got to be impressed with Denver, with the Denver Nuggets and getting a guy like Andre Iguodala. This is a good acquisition for them. It's definitely a good acquisition for them. Definitely a good acquisition for them. And we'll see. We'll see. Moving forward, how much the Denver Nuggets will be improved because of the addition of Andre Iguodala. He never really got, the fans in Philadelphia were very hard on him, got a max-type contract. He was considered their go-to guy in a lot of ways, but it just wasn't. It's just not who he is. It's just not his skill set. He's not a number one guy. It's just not who he is. But I think he's going to be good and flourish in the Denver Nuggets system. Definitely think he's going to flourish in the Denver Nuggets system. He's going to flourish in that system. And I expect him to be successful in Denver. I expect him to be successful in Denver. And the thing about it is, if it was me, I've always wanted to keep Andre Iguodala as a Philadelphia 76ers fan. Always wanted to keep Andre Iguodala. But Andre Iguodala has turned it to Andrew Bynum, and because of that, you can't really argue. You can't argue at all. You really can't argue with that at all. You can't. You can't. You really can't. But Iguodala is in Denver. And then the gold medal to the U.S. team, 2012 U.S. Olympic team, basketball team, they got the gold. They beat Spain in the gold medal game. They were very successful in these Olympics. A close game, actually, 107-100. Very close game. Very close game. A very close game. A good game. But you look at that whole game, and you look at the whole Olympics, a lot of people are comparing the Dream Team to this team. And those comparisons was made pretty much by Kobe, who said that he felt his team could beat the Dream Team. But we all know, after what we saw, that really is not possible. They would compete with them. They would give them a good game, even a good series. But they would not beat the Dream Team. Let's be real. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100. They would not beat the Dream Team. Let's be real about that. And I think we all know that. They couldn't contend with that size. The Gasol brothers, Mark and Powell, were dominating those boys down low. And you don't think Patrick Ewing and David Robinson would have a field day with that, with the youth, this team? Please. Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, please. Please. But anyway, we want to thank Nick Young of the Philadelphia 76ers stopping by. Also want to thank you, the listener, for listening. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgame, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at GoForItGame. We will be back with you on Saturday, still working on a few guests. So we're going to have a decent lineup, as always, here on GoForIt. But, again, you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgame. For everybody here at GoForIt, see you Saturday. Take care. Bye.